This is a special edition of The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Despite all of the disagreement over propositions A, B, and C for the city charter, there's pretty much total agreement that they will make big changes to the way that San Antonio is run. They are now being voted on in early voting. Election day is November the 6th. We're going to be hearing more about these propositions in just a few moments. On Friday night at St. Mary's University School of Law, they hosted a forum on the propositions. City Council member Greg Brockhouse of District 6 represented the Vote Yes campaign. Political consultant Christian Archer represented the Vote No campaign. I will be asking questions along with Professor Henry McLeish, the former First Minister of Scotland, and a visiting professor at St. Mary's University School of Law. All right, now we want to begin with opening statements. Greg Brockhouse with District 6. To begin, he has 10 minutes to expand upon why he supports propositions A, B, C.
Well, I want to thank St. Mary's University School of Law on this opportunity, and my colleague over here, Christian Archer. It's good to be sitting next to him. Professor McLeish, thank you for being here as well. It's kind of humorous, I think, that we had to go 5,000 miles to find an independent third party to have these discussions. So I think that's absolutely awesome. And to the folks who are joining us today, thank you to the staff that's staying late and working these opportunities for us to get good information out to the residents of the community. And at the end of the day, right, when I sit back and I think about these propositions and I think about the community and the city and the direction of our governance for the next several years, I'm really proud to say that I believe no matter what happens, and this is what's most important, and one of the reasons why I came on board to start advocating for the propositions is that I believe really in any direction we go, San Antonio is going to be good. So I got involved because I felt like a lot of the dialogue, a lot of the conversation was getting further away from the fact and principle of the situation, right, of the propositions themselves, the nuts and bolts, the fact, the rule of law, the items in these propositions. I think we felt we moved too far away from that. We got in time and often to really a personal attack type conversation. And I felt that we needed to spend more time on the facts and not the attack. So I came around back to it. I said, you know what, just overall in the principle of change in our local government, I felt like the petitions reached that goal for me, right? The propositions A, B, and C in their own individual rights for me, and that's the beauty of it. Each one of us in our own lens is going to come to each one of these propositions with their own idea and principle how their government should operate. And for me, I looked at them overall and thought they're going to win my support over time. And I thought about that and I worked about them. And I, as an elected official in San Antonio, I also took the time to make sure that the residents I represent had their information first. So I actually waited until after a massive town hall in my community to make sure that the residents heard their facts and principles from both parties and both sides. Go Vote No and Vote Yes came out. And I think we had a great debate about the facts and principles of what we're faced with here. So on the whole, I'm involved in this to keep it about fact, to keep it about what matters most about our community and the direction of government. Propositions A, B, and C, they're in depth. I mean, let's be honest here. There's a lot of information in both of them. And in just a short answer for each one of them up front, Proposition A, we're looking at 20,000 signatures in 180 days. Proposition B caps the city manager's salary at 10 times the lowest paid full-time employee with an eight-year term. And Proposition C affords binding arbitration for our firefighters, right? In depth. And when you go read the ballot itself, it's actually a very short paragraph. So the level of education, and this is why I'm as excited to be here, the level of education that needs to happen, even from this short one-hour debate, is going to be huge. So I believe in Proposition A because I think we need more involvement in public citizens in government, and that's it. Right now, the city of San Antonio requires 70,000 signatures in 40 days, actually about 76 in 40 days, to overturn an item or law or ordinance passed by the city. So our referendum levels are very high. The state of Texas in our constitution, the state constitution, we're sitting here in St. Mary's Law School, the constitution of the state of Texas calls that you can change any charter in the state with 20,000 signatures in 180 days. So I felt like I think there's nothing wrong with an applicable law, a very similar law in the city of San Antonio, to we can hold government accountable. And this is what this vote ultimately is coming down to, is how do you feel about the role of City Hall in our daily lives? And I'm okay with more residents voting. It doesn't concern me. So the scare tactic part of it of we're going to California, San Antonio, and this is going to turn into referendums and debates all the time. I don't buy that. I believe in citizens and their right to vote. If you're smart enough to elect me, you're smart enough to hold me accountable as well. So I don't fear a referendum vote. So I hope we're going to dig into that one further. The city manager proposition, I'm in support of that because I've seen a city manager for the last 12 years get paid more in 1 month than the average family gets paid in a year. I think it's too much money. She makes $52,000 a month. It's outrageous. And I think we need to right-size that because the truth is, in the city of San Antonio, we've never done a market study, nor have we offered any performance appraisal for the city manager position itself. So going forward in the future, I'm okay with working to limit that pay structure so that it makes sense and put more power back in the hands of the elected officials at that point. And as for an eight-year term, I mean, right now, city council members are capped and terminated at 8 years. The most we can serve is 8 years. So if it's good enough for us to be at 8 years, I don't see why the city manager role can't fulfill an eight-year term at that point as well. So I supported that. And when it comes to arbitration, I believe firefighters need a fair shot at negotiations with the city of San Antonio. The city has sued our public safety unions 5 times and spent $1.5 million in court costs. They're doing and trying to negotiate a contract in the courtroom, and they continually have lost. So I came around to supporting Proposition C because I believe, hey, it's okay for firefighters to call for a third-party, independent, binding arbitration discussion so that it gets out of the courtroom and back to some level of negotiating at a table. And I think that's okay, frankly, because the city has sued and continually lost. Their only goal right now is to do it in the courtroom. In fact, they haven't even dropped their lawsuits yet after being defeated. Their case was so poor, it wasn't even heard at the Texas Supreme Court. So I thought to myself, you know what, it's okay for firefighters to level the playing field and have themselves an even ground and call binding arbitration. It's not an immediate move either. Firefighters and unions, and I've been around them for quite a long portion of my professional career, I tell you that they want the deal. The best deal is at the table. The best deal really is through negotiation. So I'm hopeful we get back to that as well. But just to wrap up, I think it's great, no matter what happens, that the city of San Antonio, we're having a good, honest discussion about it. It's really gotten back, I think Christian would agree, it's gotten back to a pretty good fact-based discussion. And yeah, you know what? Both sides are running a political campaign, and sometimes there's harsh rhetoric on both sides. I'm happy to be sitting across from Christian because I know we'll go back and forth, and we'll walk right out this door, and it's not going to be anything to us because we both believe in San Antonio. I think we both have a different path for it. And I think people ultimately, I ask them to vote on fact and principle and their home, how they believe it's going to affect their driveway. And if I can get those facts to them, I'm okay with a public vote. If I'm going to sit here and advocate for lower standards, right, to drop it down and put more trust in the citizen, then on November 6th, I'm okay with whatever this falls, because I think San Antonio is going to be okay no matter what. I want to get back to the good governance and the rule of law, and I think we're having a great conversation about it, and I look forward to a little bit more of it tonight.
All right, now let's hear from Christian Archer. He's the manager of the Vote No campaign.
Good evening. Thank you to St. Mary's School of Law. It's a very important discussion that we're having tonight and that we've had across the entire community. I've been involved in political campaigns in San Antonio since we elected Mayor Hardberger in 2005. And I've watched the success of the city, the growing success of the city, and I really believe that these propositions are dangerous for the health of the city and for the future of the city. And I'll give a couple of examples why. We can go through, and I'm sure throughout this debate, we'll be discussing propositions A, B, and C at length. Thank you, Councilman Brockhouse, for what you said about having an open dialogue about the future of the city and whose hands we're actually going to entrust the future of the city with. I believe, David, that these are a special interest driven campaign. I think when you look at how the propositions were, I believe it was misleading as to why we're dealing with these propositions. A group from out of town was hired and paid over $500,000 to stand outside of certain big facilities that have a lot of people and tell people that they were firefighters, and that if you want firefighters to have better health care, to please sign the petitions. I think it was misleading at its core. But dealing specifically with Proposition A, Proposition A lowers the threshold to 20,000 signatures. 0.3% of the population of San Antonio could choose the future of the city. And I think that we have 11 members. We have 10 city council members and the mayor. And those people are chosen by the body, the people, to make decisions. They're entrusted with that. And if you don't like the direction of the city, if you don't like the direction that the mayor, and you don't agree with the vision of the mayor, you run for office. You run for mayor, or you run for council. And that's exactly what we want in San Antonio's representative government. What we don't want is government by referendum, because everything could go on the ballot, things that really would divide San Antonio. And it's important to know that over the last 15 years, there have been three major bond campaigns, huge investments in our city, over $2 billion worth of streets and drainage, parks, libraries, things that really matter to our community that have passed overwhelmingly. These propositions, you could pick apart each one of those projects and put it on the ballot, and you literally divide the city of San Antonio. Rather than, and David, I'll just take you a little bit back in time. Prior to the bond campaign that was run under Mayor Hardberger, the city council would take the money that they would pass in bonds, and 20% would go to the mayor, and the remaining pie was divvied up amongst the 10 council people. We reformed that in 2005 and really spread the money across the city where the needs were, rather than just by one single council district. We're going to pit all of those council districts against one another. I'll give you an example. In District 7, there's a huge drainage project, and each bond program had a piece of that drainage project. Well, if the rest of the city decided that District 7 was getting too much money for that one project, you could get 20,000 signatures. A special interest could pay to get that one single issue for the entire city to vote on. I think it's bad. I think it's divisive. I think the things that matter to San Antonio is unity and working together to make the entire city better. And I think Proposition A rips that apart at the seams. Proposition B, dealing with the city manager, this has become a personal issue. And really, it's a personal issue because the fire union and Cheryl Scully have had a long-term disagreement about their health care needs and what they need to have done. I think everybody in the city of San Antonio loves their firefighters. This isn't dealing directly with the firefighters. This is really the fight between the union and Cheryl Scully, the current city manager. What Proposition B really does is it affects future city managers. And to put an arbitrary limit on how we could offer to bring in the very best talent is just a mistake. It's San Antonio going backwards. And then to put a term limit on a city employee also makes zero sense. If that person is doing a good job, no matter what, in 8 years, we're going to fire you, whether you're doing a good job or a bad job. I think that there's a funny meme on Facebook that we keep looking at with Coach Popovich and the Spurs. If Coach Popovich had been fired after 8 years, the Spurs wouldn't have won three more championships under his leadership and under his guidance. And I think when you look at the current city manager and the financial health of the city, the fact that we're the only city in America with a AAA, big A, a bond rating is amazing. We're the only big city in the entire country, which means we can borrow money, not have to raise taxes, and do more programs, streets, parks, drainage, libraries. Why would we want to set ourselves back on purpose? And Proposition C really does speak to the heart of the matter, which is this is a special interest-driven campaign, and it's all about Proposition C. If we wanted fairness, if fairness was the goal, why would this exclusively be dealing with just the fire union and their contract? To bring in an out-of-town arbitrator that has no responsibilities to the taxpayers or to the budget, pick a medium deal and walk away and say, hands off, it's binding. This is the deal you have to live with. I think that it's wrong. I think it's backwards. I think it sets ourselves back, our city back, and I think it takes actually – in the end, I think it takes the power out of the hands of the people and puts it in the hands of the special interest. So I do look forward to a robust debate with Councilman Brockhouse, and thank you again for having us tonight.
All right. Thank you, Christian Archer. He's the manager of the Vote No campaign for Propositions A, B, and C that are now on the San Antonio ballot. And before we heard from Greg Brockhaus, who's the District 6 council member, and he's representing Vote Yes. This is a primetime source on Texas Public Radio on the ABC charter amendments. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. This is a recorded debate about the ABC charter amendments. For the Yes campaign is Councilman Greg Brockhaus. For the No campaign is political consultant Christian Archer. I'm asking questions along with Professor Henry McLeish of St. Mary's School of Law.
As a Democrat who's been involved in 30 years of elected office myself, I have a great respect for citizens and a great respect for the information that citizens require to make judgments on their behalf. So the kind of opening question for yourselves, both of you, is in terms of, it's a curious mix of issues in propositions. So why should they be involved in relation to the public? Why shouldn't they just be tackled by the elected city members?
Well, I think at the root of what we're seeing, and these petitions haven't occurred just overnight. This has been an ongoing, I think, lack of trust in City Hall. And we've seen many issues come through where, and I'm in the room now, so in those closed-door meetings when the decisions are being made, I'm actually in that room. And I'm here to tell you the public should be very concerned about how much occurs outside of the eyesight, outside of the ear of our voters, our residents, our citizens. So that's part of what prompted me to get involved in this in the first place. So, and there's two types of politicians, Professor McLeish. One is the one that goes down there thinking, I'm elected to go make these decisions for you. You elected me to go do this, to make these decisions. There's the other that tries their best to go with the voice of the people down there and make it happen. I think we've moved away from that over the last several years at City Hall. You know, Christian said we're growing success in our city. You know, we have a lot of income inequality issues. We do have a ton of problems in our community with people having affordable homes and places to live. We have a lot of big misses in our community. I think that's what's upsetting people, whether it's passing on a Republican National Convention or not going after an Amazon or not bringing people involved in the government process or making decisions without the will of the people, I think has driven this over the years to where it's at right now. So this isn't an overnight type deal. I think what the citizens are trying to do is to bring back a little level of control into their governance. And I think when you listen, and Christian's got his, and we're running, this is a political campaign, but when you listen to it, it's a lot of scare tactics. He talks a lot about special interests. Well, guess who's funding the Go Vote No campaign? It's entirely special interests. Less than 50 people, almost $2 million of money coming into their, why? Why is that money coming in so much? Because they do not want to let go of their rule, their opportunity to hold the power at City Hall. And I think that's what a lot of this is, really. This comes down to how you feel about your government and what direction it is and how much control you feel you should have. Running for city council is not the answer all the time for fixing it. I'm telling you right, most people do not want to get involved in politics. What they want to do is be able to have an opportunity when disappointed or upset in their governance for redress. They want to be able to come back and stand and have an opportunity to hold their elected officials accountable more often than just an election.
Okay, that's 2 minutes.
Christian, can I just sharpen up the question? Because really what I'm saying is that in terms of elected democracy through the ages, people charge their elected officials with taking decisions on their behalf. So where does this start and where does this finish? And might it reflect the weaknesses of city government rather than the demands of the people to become so involved in democracy? Christian, I think.
I trust in the people. And the people have choices. And if you don't like your elected official, you can either run for office or you can go knock on doors and help another person get elected. And so it really is who trusts the people. And when you look at the city council is actually fairly popular across the city. That's why they keep getting reelected. They're doing a good job. San Antonio is the only city in the entire country with a AAA bond rating. People believe in our city. That's why we're the fastest growing city in the entire country, is because people love San Antonio. And so the trust really is run for office. And I believe that that trust is exactly where it should lie, in the hands of the people. But importantly, in order to run for office, you have to have a vision for the future of the city. And you have to enact that vision. And sometimes that takes time. Rather than just sticking your finger up and seeing which way the wind blows in a short period of time, in order to think about the next 20 and 30 and 50 years, you have to elect people with real vision and allow that to happen. I'll give you a very quick example. In the first bond campaign that I brought up, Mayor Hartberger took on a very controversial issue, which was expanding the Riverwalk north. And at the time, there were so many anti-taxers. It's too much money. It's a drainage ditch. Nothing will ever happen there. Now there's $2 billion worth of investment. We have the Culinary Institute churning out beautiful young chefs once a year that are opening up restaurants. 10,000 permanent jobs were created. But for 35 years, those plans sat in place. And it took a leader with vision and the rallying behind the city council members and the community to do it. And as it turns out, it paid off in the long term. And I'm worried that so many of those long-term projects would just come to a screeching halt.
That's 2 minutes. Now for a 30-second rebuttal.
Well, just again, back to the facts, not scare tactics or attacks. The fact is San Antonio is not the only AAA bond-rated city in the nation. Our neighbor to the north at Austin is as well. So let's just start to dissect. If I can get anything in front of citizens tonight, it's the truth. Don't buy into everything that's scary about what Christian is saying. I just trust the residents and the citizens. So what Professor McLeish was asking is why not just in the hands of the government? Because I believe that people have an opportunity to redress their government, to come back and challenge something, anything, and it has to be more often than once every 2 years, because we've grown further away from the public, from listening to the public and their dialogue and their trust.
All right,
and this is an opportunity
to
get a piece of it back.
Yeah, that's also let's get the facts straight. When all of the three credit rating agencies rate, you can get a capital A or a lower A. And each one of those has a different hitch. And there's more interest rate if you have a lower A than a capital A. And the facts are San Antonio is the only city in the entire country with a capital A from all three credit rating agencies, and Austin does not have that.
And now we move on to the next question. Professor McLeish.
In relation to Proposition A, I mean, we live in a Facebook world, we live in a fairly dynamic electronic world of pressures and minorities and majorities. So what was the thinking really behind moving from 75,000 to 20? Because on the face of it, forgive me for being an outsider, it seems a bit arbitrary. And when does the fewer numbers you need get to a worrying point where this could become a preoccupation or pastime for anyone that wants to?
I don't believe there's anything arbitrary about it at all. So the Texas Constitution, again, we're at St. Mary's here, school law, our Constitution is written and as such that you can change or adjust any charter in the state of Texas with 20,000 signatures in 180 days. So it's already the rule of law in Texas for something as sacred as our Constitution. So our city constitution is our city charter. So we can't come in just like this campaign is doing right now. They've obtained the signatures to put something on the ballot. Let's be very clear to anybody watching this. Somebody who goes through that effort of obtaining signatures, I've done it before. It's not an easy process. It took me months to get 30,000, and it did take a lot of money to fight a streetcar that project that was going through San Antonio. It's a very difficult. So I don't buy into monthly referendums. This is not going to happen. They will only be voted on twice a year if something comes up. It's 20,180 days because it matches an existing law already in the Texas Constitution. So the 70,000 right now, Professor, that we have has been exercised about twice in the last 25 years. It is such an onerous amount of signatures in a very short period of time. So the thinking is, let's match what is currently in place at the state. It's effective and it's worked. There hasn't been that many petitions or charter amendments in San Antonio. In the last 4 years, only been one, and that was the streetcar and this one. So to obtain those levels of signatures is very difficult. It does cost a lot of money. And you have to remember that people, and Christian mentioned a couple folks that were upset about previous bond packages. Those people attempted to go out and petition their government. They couldn't get it done. They've attempted to recall people. They couldn't get it done. It's very difficult to obtain signatures and convince somebody. And the fact that those people were from out of town, Christian mentioned earlier, was out of town folks coming in here collecting petitions, working our city. Honestly, due respect, Christian's from outside of San Antonio himself. So if you're going to talk about outside folks, we got an outside person representing, outside of San Antonio resident, representing the Go Vote No campaign here tonight. So let's make sure that we are dealing with what is really right and best for San Antonians and the facts.
Okay, that's 2 minutes. But I want to ask, just to follow up, because it's something you're saying, and I'm not clear what you're saying. So just I'm stopping the clock, and I want to try and get you the opportunity to clarify. You keep saying that the state constitution allows 20,000 signatures for referendum, but in the state of Texas, there is no opportunity for public referendum.
No, charter change.
Right.
20,000 signatures in 180 days is the charter change process.
And why is that significant in deciding that this is where you wanted to go?
Well, it's significant because it's already an enacted law. So right now in the city of San Antonio, a resident can come in and collect 20,000 signatures in 180 days and change any aspect of the city charter, which includes the
Which we're doing right now.
Right, which includes the role of the city manager and all her responsibilities, all that position's responsibilities. It could change the term limits of city council members.
Okay.
It could change a lot. So it's an enacted law already in place that is rarely used, only in instances where the public rises up in opposition of a city mandate or a city law ordinance. So my point is that it isn't an arbitrary number pulled out of the blue.
Right.
It is a codified item.
Because there's plenty of places where you can pull that number from. So you decided to take it from the state constitution on that issue, right?
What better source would you take it from than
the Bible?
The Constitution?
I don't know. I can come up with a lot of different places you can take numbers from.
I thought you were a fair and impartial moderator.
Was there a study? An expert? Did y'all do studies to try to came up with 20,000 numbers?
I answered your question, David.
Okay, so you can't answer the question.
Okay. I thought this was a fair and impartial moderator.
It is. I'm just trying to find
Professor
out
Shepherd,
where you're getting 20,000 signatures.
I answered
from.
Your question to the T, sir. It was obtained from a mirror image of the Texas Constitution. 20,000 signatures
that's
in
all
180
I wanted,
days.
That's what we wanted to find out.
I told
and
you
we're
that
just trying to get clarification and what you meant by
well,
that.
I answered that question exactly 3 minutes ago.
This is a primetime source on Texas Public Radio on the ABC Charter Amendments. Early voting is now underway. Election Day is Tuesday, November the 6th. We're going to have more debate on the issues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. On Friday, the ABC Charter Amendments were debated at St. Mary's University School of Law. For the Yes campaign is Councilman Greg Brockhaus. For the No campaign is political consultant Christian Archer. I, along with Professor Henry McLeish of St. Mary's University School of Law, are asking questions.
The slogan they all have is approved by citizens for ABC. Could you please help me understand what was the process and the citizens' involvement in drafting these three propositions before the petition campaign began?
Well, actually, this goes back to the streetcar campaign about 4 years ago. So like I said earlier, this wasn't an overnight thing where all of a sudden the firefighters woke up one morning and said, it's time to collect signatures and let's beat the crap out of City Hall. That's not at all what has occurred here. This has been an ongoing struggle. So there have been multiple organizations. Back in 2013, 2014, the city tried to pass a $450 million three-mile streetcar line. Public had enough of it. We went out and worked multiple coalitions of folks. I mean, Republicans, Libertarians, LULAC, Democrats, I mean, you name it, right down the line. We collected the signatures, came around and really turned around City Hall with it, and they stopped their program. They didn't spend the money. So this is building up over time. So the coalition that started that back then was thinking about ways to work and effectuate changes in local government that forces the City Hall really to listen. And this is a role of government piece here, right? This is what's difficult about the debate. We're talking about really the role of government and what you believe the citizens' right should be to hold their government accountable, at what level.
Right. So I'm hoping that we can get you to answer the question. when were there public hearings? What citizen involvement was there in drafting these propositions?
I just answered the question.
No, you didn't.
Wow. Your response is, David.
Listen, Greg, answer the question, please.
I did answer the question. Starting in 2014,
were there public hearings? How were these propositions drafted with public input?
At 2014, multiple organizations joined together. And those organizations represented thousands and ten thousands of people in San Antonio. This was a huge coalition of people working together. All of those groups over a series of months and over the last couple of years have been refining and figuring out how to hold local government accountable. So those organizations have been meeting and talking over years. It's not just the firefighters union. And that's one thing I can say right here tonight, it wasn't solely a firefighter-driven initiative. This started years ago. So the idea really came from, and approved by citizens is a slogan, right? It's a campaign slogan because that's ultimately what we're asking for here is approval by citizens. So the citizens were involved, a part of multiple coalitions and groups in the city of San Antonio, and it's really been formed over the last year. I think the teams had sat down and came back together and said, look, what other things can we do to effectuate changes in San Antonio? And those organizations worked together to come up with these items. And that's how they came about, and that's how they were enacted.
All right, let's go over to Christian Archer for his response to that.
Yeah, right. So I think you got the answer from the councilman. There were no public hearings, there were no citizens' involvement, and there were no organizations or groups that came together to put this together. In fact, you know, the thing that's offensive is that we all heard Chris Steele, when he was recorded, say exactly what it was about. He was recorded by a firefighter at a Union Hall meeting where he said, hey, let me tell you what this is exactly about. And it was exactly about what I said earlier. This is about the fire union's dispute with the city manager. And in the end, what we're going to do is we're going to elect Greg Brockhouse mayor. And he says it. He says it in our television ads. This is exclusively about the fire union takeover of City Hall. And if they were so concerned about the citizens, they might have listened to a few of them. But instead, it was exclusively about their dispute with Cheryl Scully. And there are 11 members of the city council and the mayor. There is only one who has come out and said, I'm for it. The same guy that Chris Steele was recorded saying, okay, here's what the whole thing's about, which is getting Greg Brockhouse elected mayor.
Okay, and 30 seconds response from Greg Brockhouse. Well,
to me, the public hearing that was involved was getting in front of citizens and asking them to sign. So the best public hearing you're going to get is standing in front of citizens, voters, and asking them to sign these documents. They signed them. Now, the ultimate public hearing we're going to get is a public vote on November 6th. So if you believe in the public's right to choose, then November 6th is going to be the answer to that. And by the way, Christian's recording is a snippet of an hours-long conversation at some unknown time in some unknown location. It was an unfair media attack. Utilizing tiny clips of information to sensationalize the campaign process. And that's fine. That's part of the game. But know that nobody can pinpoint where, when, or what larger conversation that was a part of.
Christian Archer, 30 seconds.
I can tell you. It was recorded by a firefighter in a fire station when Chris Steele was talking about these amendments, and he said the sole purpose is to fight Cheryl Scully, elect Greg Brockhouse mayor. And it's not like the citizens spoke out, David. They paid a company $500,000 to pretend that they were firefighters and to get people to sign a petition. There was zero citizen involvement. This has always been about the union's single interest moves.
This is a primetime source on Texas Public Radio on the ABC charter amendments. We're taking a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. This is a recorded debate about the ABC charter amendments. For the Yes campaign is Councilman Greg Brockhouse. For the No campaign is political consultant Christian Archer. I'm asking questions along with Professor Henry McLeish of St. Mary's School of Law.
Unlike Proposition A, which is about widening participation in the role of the citizen, when you get to Proposition B, does it not seem highly dubious that we'd want to erect a proposition on the salary of one official? Because in most European countries, the debate is about the poorly paid lower workers, not about the high-paid worker in public services. But there is an enormous debate about the fat cats in industry having ludicrous salaries. So the question I want to pose, first of all, to Christian is, is this not a dangerous precedent? Because why stop with the city manager?
Exactly.
Why not have Joe Bloggs and Christine Bloggs and their daughter, Samantha Bloggs? They've got prominent positions. Look, public don't like public servants getting this. So they may say, okay, let's downgrade the lot of them. So we'll have another proposition and another proposition. Now, apart from the anarchy side of that, what's the fairness?
It's a great question. In fact... if this was about the people or outrageous, big salaries, they could have taken on a lot of people. It could have been aimed at the woman who runs CPS Energy. It could be aimed at SAWS. It could have been aimed at other people that have been hired by the mayor and by the council to work for them. The city manager works for the mayor and council, and if she was doing a poor job, Greg Brockhouse could fire her. They could pull her before the council and fire her. And it's been done before in San Antonio, where the city manager's been fired by a majority of the council members. He could easily do that, and he could easily talk to his colleagues and say, we believe Cheryl's doing a bad job. Let's get 6 votes and bring in a new city manager. Well, that hasn't happened. And it's a terrible, terrible precedent to set. When you're just putting handcuffs on yourself. Now, but think about this. This wouldn't apply to the current city manager.
And that's really the dispute between the union and the current city manager. And it's really meant to have a big showdown between the union and the city manager. It doesn't address, you know, the on-the-line employees. There's no referendum to raise their pay. You don't see, you know, so all of that is void from this discussion. And that's what it really gets down to. And the true underlining of what this, why we're having to deal with this campaign in San Antonio right now is their dispute. They don't take on the other larger salaried employees. They don't say, here's a better way to handle the next city manager. But think about this. If Cheryl Scully resigned tomorrow, the next city manager that we're going to bring in, we want exceptionalism. We want excellence at the city manager position. And who would apply for a job that automatically going to be fired at the end of 8 years? The answer is no one would take that job.
All right, 2 minutes for Greg Ruckus.
I'm sorry, the entire city council and the mayor applied for a job to get fired at 8 years. I mean, we are capped and term limited at 8 years at the city of San Antonio. So 11 of us did. And the crux of this situation, I think, is the power and control that the current city manager has obtained over the last 12 years. The average lifespan of a city manager is really about 6 to 7 years. And the average pay, Cheryl Scully, has really eclipsed that. So there's a palpable fear factor amongst council members when it comes to dealing with the city manager. One of my first meetings with her, she looked at me and said, "Hey, Greg, you're the 49th council member I've been through." It's like a bully tactic. And I said, "Well, you know, you have been through one like me, because I'm going to remind you that you work for the city council. So a lot of this comes in the public. And the public domain, a lot of people see that as an overpaid salary, $52,000 a month. It's way out of whack, and it's way out of control. Do you know, and I hope people know this, there is no market rate study for payment of a city manager's salary. She has no performance appraisal. Never once has one member of the council documented anything about the city manager. There was once an item on a bonus, but no job description or any really accountability tools that you would see in any human resource department across the city of San Antonio in any industry. So she's amassed such control that I think it's time for the city council to wrestle that back in and really change the form of our government, how things are handled. It is a lack of leadership that Cheryl Scully has obtained and amassed this type of power. The average family in San Antonio makes about $43,000 to $45,000 in a year. Cheryl makes $52,000 in a month. You're right. It doesn't apply to Cheryl Scully. But here's the bottom line. We don't want another city manager with that level of control or power. And the council has abdicated their responsibility. When I've asked, and there was three of us that voted against Cheryl Scully, and a couple that we did speak to are afraid of even broaching the subject for fear of the retribution with the budget and the other items she controls. That cannot happen any longer at San Antonio City Hall. We must force the manager to understand that role, who she reports to and how that works. And I'm a firm believer wrestling control back to the members of the city council.
We have 30 seconds response by Kristen Archer.
Right. And once again, Professor, I think it goes to what Greg's job is. Greg's job is to be one of 11 members of the San Antonio City Council and to go. And if there's that strong belief, then there should be six council members that come together and say, we pay her too much. She's got too much power. It's time to bring someone else in. That's why we have representative government. And we don't just put our finger up into the wind and say, well, gee, today we're going to do this. No, that's the job of a council member and the mayor.
And that's 30. Greg Brockhaus, 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, the problem with that statement is you're assuming the city council members listen to the will of their constituents. I'm here to tell you that they don't. And I think historically, citizens are starting to feel like that more and more and more. So there is a palpable fear. And you don't want to walk out and try to take out the king and understand that you don't have somebody else is not with you. You don't want to step out and have nobody behind you. So the fear factor that goes with it, I don't have a problem with saying we need a change of direction, change in the power structure, and a change in the pay. But many don't, right? They don't want to cross that bridge for fear of retribution. And that's the structure at City Hall. I see it in the closed-door meetings, how that control is out of whack and the balance of power at City Hall is wrong.
And that's 30 seconds. Okay, and I'm now going to be able to ask a question, and I'm directing it to Kristen Archer. And so as the manager of the campaign for the Vote No, can you talk about the what kind of studies that y'all have been looking at in order to support some of your claims that this would be bad for the San Antonio economy?
Sure, and thanks for the question, David. I think when you look overall at what we expect –
for the future of the city. When you start at Proposition A, and you've been warned over and over again by the different credit rating agencies, what will happen to the future of the city, and how much money we will just simply write a check in interest to the banks on payments that would remove parks and libraries and sidewalks. And the other thing is that we currently run our bond schedule. Every 5 years, we run a major bond program to deal with the needs of the community. That bond program would be extended to every 8 years. And so, David, right off the bat, this thing starts off, it's terrible that we would spend so much money in interest payments to banks, and it just doesn't make any sense at all for any elected member to support the idea of removing money from the needs of this community because
right.
they're
great. Do you have studies? Are there reports?
Yes.
Are there...
So Dr. Steve Niven is an independent economist. He wrote a report to the city of San Antonio warning us of the downgrading of what the impact of being downgraded would have on the future of the city. And the fact is it could cost hundreds of millions of dollars in interest payments to the bank. It's dangerous. And that was hired. The city is required to do an economic impact study on the effects of these charter amendments. So he was hired to do that economic impact study. He came back and reported back that San Antonio could lose hundreds of millions of dollars in interest payments to banks.
All right, now over to Greg Brockhaus. Just the same question. Can you kind of talk about what sort of studies, who did y'all commission, what experts did y'all talk to as y'all were working on preparing these propositions?
Well, I mean, when you really think about the groups and the folks that are involved, so every group we dealt with, we kind of walked through and talked about. And again, I wasn't – let's be very clear. My position in the campaign came in later. The actual drafting of the petitions and the things that were worked on were really handled by the coalition, the San Antonio First campaign. So I've really come on later in it as most of them were drafted and formed. And it took me time to, you know, to work my way to understanding them and where they were coming from. So I'm not privileged to the information of how they were set up or written. That I was not there for that.
But you're here today.
Understood. So let's talk about we'll reference the part with Dr. Niven. Who has resulted, you know, turned in a level of an analysis to us as the San Antonio City Council. So he did that with the estimation of a downgrade in the bond rating. Again, I'll go back to where the bond ratings were. No agency said anything about a downgrade. They said there's a potential there. Again, one of them said nothing, and two of them said there could be activity if the San Antonio City Council doesn't handle the responses appropriately. So with that in mind, Dr. Niven came in and said, this is what happens if and when the downgrade occurs. So he came in and said, if the downgrade occurs, these are the millions you are going to spend. And that is true. I mean, if you have a higher interest rate, you're going to pay more interest. That's legitimate, 100%. But what he didn't discuss was that nobody at the bond agency said that that was going to occur. And to this moment right now, Christian, he can't say that that was a mandate, that this is, if this happens, if this passes, a downgrade will occur. That is a classic scare tactic. And the millions in saying, hey, look, if this passes, you're going to lose police officers, you're going to lose libraries. Those are meant to instill fear in the public's mind. That's what the purpose of them is, that if I vote for this, I'm going to lose something. But in reality, no rating agency said this was going to happen upon a vote. They said there could be. So what Dr. Niven presented was really the worst case scenario if a downgrade occurred when nobody had said there would be one. So I think that analysis, while legitimate, and Dr. Niven's a credentialed individual. He came before us and presented to us at the council.
Okay,
but it was
a
worst-case scenario piece.
But I just want to give you an opportunity to make clear, because, I mean, you guys must have done some sort of research, or you had to have talked to some sort of experts before you put this before citizens, right? Who were they?
Yeah, I mean, when they formed it up, they worked with attorneys out of Houston. They worked with Texas constitutional law attorneys. They worked with folks out of Austin.
Economists?
I was there at the draft. The beginning of the drafting of this, I was not present for that, folks. No, I was not present for it. I was not present
okay.
for the construction.
All right, now let's go back to Professor McLeish.
Real quickly, because I think I was allowed a rebuttal.
Oh, yeah, rebuttal.
Sorry. Just for clarification, the answer is zero. Of course, they consulted no one because that was never their agenda to begin with. The answer was zero. And we can tell you when Greg is talking about the number of people that were involved in all these organizations, there was one. Only one organization was involved in drafting these, and that was the union in their dispute against the city manager. And so
that's why these are. When Greg says that these are fear tactics and scare tactics,
he's
seconds. Exactly right. These propositions are
30 seconds.
Okay.
Now let's go to Greg Brockhaus for his rebuttal.
Well, no, I mean, that's absolutely false. There wasn't one organization involved in it. There was multiple organizations, and I listed them earlier, and they were still involved and have been working together off and on for years, including endorsements from both the Democratic and the Republican parties here in the city of San Antonio. So this is a broad-based coalition of people. Yes, it is led by the San Antonio Firefighters Association, but there are multiple folks and organizations working in tandem with this. So, again, you cannot say it's just one organization. They've stood together. And if you're endorsed by both the Democrats and the Republicans in the city of San Antonio, you've accomplished something unheard of in decades of San Antonio politics. So be cognizant there's multiple
it's
people
30.
Working on it.
You've been listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. Propositions A, B, and C are on the ballot for the city charter. They are now being voted on in early voting. Election day is November the 6th. A special thank you to St. Mary's University School of Law for hosting this in-depth forum on the propositions. City Councilmember Greg Brockhaus of District 6 represented the Vote Yes campaign. Political consultant Christian Archer represented the Go Vote No campaign. I was asking questions alongside Professor Henry McLeish, the former First Minister of Scotland, and a visiting professor at St. Mary's University School of Law. Texas Public Radio will continue to cover these issues and other races that are on the ballot. We're going to have special election coverage on election night, and there's more information on our website at tpr.org. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.